Fucking good, man. I think I got a concussion yesterday, though.
What, soccer?
I was playing soccer and stupid shit. Just got bad luck.
You got
I got hit
rocked?
in the head twice with the ball, like hard.
Damn.
Yeah. And the last one happened on the last kick of the game. Like,
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the banger in the paint, our residential medical expert, Rojan Walia. How you feeling?
hey, it's like a different season. This is pretty much NBA Christmas. Playoffs are here.
Is today better than actual Christmas for the NBA?
Oh yeah, for the NBA, of course. Like, come on, we all know that the regular season's pretty much a glorified preseason.
Rough, man. Not in the second half of the season this year. Not when refs actually swallow the whistle. Come on now.
You know what, Peter? I think you're gonna see you sing the same tune when the Nuggets actually show up, because they've had a bit of a slump since the All-Star break. But you know what?
No,
NBA
no.
playoffs is
The Nuggets had like the second or third best record in the league since the All-Star break, dog. Come on now.
but they're not playing the same basketball. Like, they're gonna play a better brand of basketball in the playoffs.
Oh, 100%. But that's championship caliber, boy.
Okay, one championship there, eh?
That's all that matters,
Take it to the
man.
bank.
That's all that matters. It's like when the Raptors got their one, you know? Everyone in Toronto still rides high on that first championship 5 years ago. It is what it is. You
Oh,
milk it.
you know, Josh is celebrating on a parade somewhere on a cruise line, just ro rocking that 2019 Raptors championship shirt.
Yo, imagine that's all he actually packed. Just a bunch of championship
Oh,
t-shirts for his cruise.
easy. Easy money.
He actually went to the last Raptors game of the season in Miami.
Oh, really? He made it out. I know we talked about that off the pod, and I think he said it was
No.
going to be tight to see, but hey, th Raptors tickets are finally going to be affordable
Yeah, whatever, man. Wait till the Dick Show comes back next year.
now. Dick and Barnes.
Oh my goodness. All right, well, since we're going into the playoffs in a week, let's start. I want to start with on the last day of the season. So the NBA had scheduled all the East teams to play at like 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All the West teams are starting at 3:30. The Pistons and the Spurs, you know, the NBA kind of knew that they'd be near the bottom of the league of each conference, so they set them aside for, you know, their little like transition game. But we saw in the last, yeah, maybe like the last half of the first games, some of these teams just started tanking for position. And I mainly want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers just completely giving away a game against the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, let's not get things twisted here. Charlotte is in no place to be contending. They had literally none of their players playing. Brandon Miller was sitting, Miles Bridges was sitting, LaMelo's, you know, off.
Been sitting.
Yeah, he's been off for most of the year. So the expectation was Cleveland should just walk into the stadium, clear out the game real quick, no big deal. And then in the second half, we just saw like Cleveland clearing their benches. Tristan Thompson was playing a lot. Imani Bates is running their point for some reason. Isaiah Mobley was there. Peter, Na I think his name is Pete Nance. Anyways, Larry Nance's brother was also in this game. Like Cleveland just completely just said, "Screw it, we don't want the three seed. Give us the four." Why? So you could play it, so you could avoid Indiana or Philadelphia in the first round, just so you could potentially get Boston in the second round if you beat Orlando.
Yeah, you know what? I think Cleveland, they were just looking one matchup at a time, and you kind of have to look at that way. If you were Cleveland, if you had a choice of playing Orlando, which is a team that probably has been very inconsistent in the last 10, 15 games of the season, Wagner being out with an ankle injury, you can't blame them. But if you're looking at if this team is a championship contending team, they know they're not. Like, I think the coaching staff, management knows that a successful season would be a good second round exit, which they may end up having if they play the Celtics. And honestly, I don't hate the move. Like, It's the last game of the season, and if you're able to play Orlando versus playing the Pacers, and not to say the Pacers are this powerhouse team, but the Pacers are not, I'd say Orlando is not as good as the Pacers. And if you're a player and you're on, if you're Donovan Mitchell, I'd rather be going up against an inexperienced team like Orlando than a team like the Pacers.
Interesting. I'd rather play the Pacers, to be honest. Orlando's just going to make it so, Orlando's going to make it such a gritty series. Like, that's clearly a slate for NBA TV where, you know, no one will actually be watching it. But Orlando just mucks everything up. And now that Jonathan Isaac can possibly play more than 15 minutes in a game, whoo, Cleveland is, they got a lot of work to do, man. And, you know, we'll see even if Donovan Mitchell comes back after this offseason.
That's another topic, to be honest. But, like, again, Cleveland losing to Miami, Cleveland losing to Charlotte. When I looked at the betting lines, that was like a line I was going to stay away from because, again, like, the Cavs are clearly a better team than the Hornets, and the Hornets obviously had nothing to play for, but the Cavs purposely lost that game, and it marks, I'd rather see the Bucks versus the Pacers. So, you know what? Cleveland gave what the fans wanted.
Sad stuff that Marcus Morris Sr. was on this tanking lineup.
Woo! They needed a chucker.
Apparently so. Okay, let's move on. Play-in teams. We got, on Tuesday night, LA and New Orleans for the 7-8 seed game. And then the 9-10, we have the Warriors and the Kings. I don't know where you want to start first with this. Let's start with the Warriors and Kings, just to, you know, change it up a bit. We basically have a rematch of last year's round one. And I'm sure we all remember Steph just completely dominating the Kings in Game 7 last year. But, I mean, the Kings in the past 2 to 3 weeks have just not looked the same as they did. Not even compared to last year, but even like throughout most of this year. Herter and Monk are both out. And they're running Keon Ellis at the two. Not exactly full of depth to this team. And the Warriors have hit their stride in the past couple of weeks, as long as Draymond Green doesn't try to fight somebody. I mean, Andrew Wiggins might actually be back. Klay's actually shooting the ball well. I mean, this seems like the Warriors' game to lose, right?
Oh, of course. The Kings are reeling into this matchup. This would have been a fun matchup if Malik Monk and Kevin Herter were at full strength. I think it could go either way. We saw a pretty good Game 7 last year, but obviously Steph and Golden State's experience really took over there. But this is, in my opinion, just probably the easiest matchup to predict. I think Golden State just runs away with this. The Kings don't have enough shooting. They don't have enough guard depth. Fox would have to play out of his mind. Probably have to get over 40 points for them to even have a chance. And it seems like Sabonis doesn't always have his best games against Draymond. I don't know if he's afraid if the jock strap that he's wearing impedes his progress in the game when he's playing him. But this Kings team, kind of sad to see with their injuries, but they're nowhere close to the depth that the rest of the Western Conference teams have. And truthfully, I'd rather see Golden State in the next matchup with the loser of the Pelicans-Lakers game. I don't know what you feel about it, but this one's the easiest one when I look at the score. It's going to be like 15 to 20 point win.
Yeah, kill the beam. Unfortunately, kill the beam. The spread is only Golden State favored by 2.5, so might be poundable. Just saying.
No, it will be taken advantage of. Let's just say that.
Yeah. All right, so the early game on Tuesday, we got the Lakers at Pelicans. Pelicans favored by 1.5. Obviously, we saw Brandon Ingram come back in the last game of the year. And I hate to say it, but it feels like when LeBron is in these like situations where he just needs to win a game, he's like, oh yeah, I'm LeBron. I'm just going to overpower everybody. So it just takes over again. And the situation now would be whether if he wants to try to do it again and then they go into the 7th seed and play Denver. Or you sort of just, like, coast your way through the game, you know? LeBron just starts taking threes instead of driving to the net all the time. He has one of those kind of games. And then the Pelicans end up in the 7th seed.
Yeah, this... I got a question for you. If you're LeBron James and you know that you can give everything and probably beat the Pelicans and play the Nuggets, or save yourself to play the Warriors and have a chance to go at the Thunder and have a potentially a deeper playoff run, what do you take?
Honestly, I would go against Denver because I don't mess with the basketball gods. I'm not out here trying to tank games. But LeBron, I don't know, man. I maybe have like a thousandth of LeBron's skill level and IQ in the game, so I'm not going to like put myself into that position. But if I were any of the other players on that team, I would try to win. I'm not going to say I'm like in LeBron's position or like AD's, but if I'm like Torian Prince, yo, I'm trying to get my shots down.
Honestly, I actually think the Lakers can win this game against the Pelicans if they really knew that this game was their do or die, and it, ultimately it's not. They technically have two chances to make it into the playoffs. I think they will try to win the game, but if, let's say, third quarter, fourth quarter, they're in a bit of a dogfight, I don't think that urgency is going to be there from LeBron.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I think if you're looking at this, if you can't beat Golden State in a one-game play-in tournament, you're not going to win the championship. That's just not your quality of the team, especially this Golden State team. We're not talking about the Golden State team with Durant and Klay hitting crazy shots, and the Splash Brothers are together, and Wiggins is a cute, like a big contributor. We're looking at a depleted Golden State team that matches up very poorly, actually, against a healthy Lakers team. Because the Lakers have size and Golden State doesn't. So I don't think they're going to tank it, but I don't think the urgency is going to be there. And I ultimately think one thing that's probably going to hurt the Pelicans is the fact that Ingram came back on the last game of the season. It's hard to integrate a player that's so usage dependent with one game. And I know we're going to talk about it on a future pod with Josh, but the same thing with Kat. Like, it disrupts the rhythm. And you don't have 4 or 5 games to get that rhythm back. Like, you lose 1 or 2 games at home, the series changes. And that's the big worry for the Pelicans. Like, if Ingram was there for the last 5 games, I think they have a great chance of winning, especially at home, especially against a non-urgent Lakers team. But this was probably the hardest game for me to predict, truth be told, because I think the Lakers are okay losing. Because I think they like their chances against Golden State.
Oh, for sure. They have to, right? I don't remember what the season series was, but all I can tell you is that every time Anthony Davis plays against the Golden State Warriors, it feels like he turns into Wilt Chamberlain.
And no one on that team matches up that well with him. And if anything, the key thing is LeBron James can take over one game. He really can. And whether... I just don't think he's going to do it twice in 1 week. So it's really going to come down to that. I don't think he's... If they beat the Pelicans, great. If they shoot the ball well, if the Pelicans have a bad night shooting, with Zion's not involved, then yeah, they're going to take the win and they're going to go into that series with Denver and try to figure out something. Yeah. But if it's a close game, I don't think we're going to see LeBron taking over. I think he's going to save himself for Golden State.
That'll be interesting to see.
So Pelicans. Pelicans by, I'd say, 8 points.
But it, wow. Oof, that's Zion trust right there. Who's probably going to be playing his biggest game ever. This has to be the biggest game ever, right? He hasn't played in the playoffs yet.
I think he's had a play-in game last year, didn't he?
I thought he was hurt.
Okay, maybe that was the case. But definitely one of his biggest games.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure like when I remember earlier this year when we were leading into the play-in tournament, a lot of the hype was Zion's biggest game is going to be this play-in tournament game, single elimination. And then he just laid a dud against the Lakers. This team has a lot of odd history. Plus, you know, you have the Anthony Davis / Brandon Ingram revenge factor games. Mainly AD because he wanted out of New Orleans. That being said, I'm taking the Lakers.
Yeah, bold.
Yeah, Lakers by, I don't know, let's just say 4, 4.5.
Wow. Let's see if you put your money where your mouth is.
I might. Talk to me tomorrow. All right.
We'll see.
But then, and then in my scenario, you would have Lakers and Warriors. That'd be fun. And like that's kind of like the ideal matchup that the NBA wants, right? Steph Warriors and LeBron going at it. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Or if sorry, you'd have Zion and Steph going in the second playing game for the 8th seed.
Yeah. I think the NBA would prefer LeBron versus Steph for that final spot.
You're right. But especially if the Warriors squeak in.
Yeah, but it could happen. But ultimately, whoever's that team, whether it's the Warriors or the Lakers, maybe the Pelicans, but probably not. They must like their chances against a young and experienced OKC team.
Oh yeah.
Both.
Maybe not the Warriors. The Warriors have not had good luck, so to speak, against OKC this year.
Yep. Playoff Steph, man. Playoff Steph.
Playoff Chet. Chet hasn't missed a game all season, man. Oh my god, he's gonna be flying all over the place against this unathletic Warriors team. All right, let's go.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's go east. In the first matchup of the game of the day, we have the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, Philly is favored by 4.5. Hopefully, we'll have a not fully healthy Joel Embiid, but a moderately healthy Joel Embiid. You know, someone who can perform like 90% of what he can usually do, I'm hoping. What do you think here?
Yeah, like he's looked decent since he's come back. You know, Nick Nurse is going to put the minutes on him. And I think the idea was that they were going to save him for the playoffs. Ultimately, the Sixers have made the playoffs several years in a row. The process is in full effect. Now it's all about the result. So I think they probably held on to put integrating him in the season. Because they'd rather have him healthy than him be unhealthy and be the 6th seed or 5th seed. This one's tough because Miami can turn up. And they play a style of basketball that Nick Nurse would even be proud of. They just grit and grind. And Jimmy Butler coming back to Philly. I think he has a lot to prove there. And just to show that they made a mistake again and again. So I think this is going to be a close game. I think the biggest thing it'll come down to is how healthy is Maxey.
I mean, Maxey is like he's healthy enough. It might be a couple of bumps and bruises like everybody else in the league, but he's perfectly fine right now. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Tyrese Maxey. You also forgot the Kyle Lowry revenge game against Miami.
Yeah, exactly. He's gonna show Eric Spoelstra that he still has those 14 minutes in him.
He's like, I still have 7% body fat, coach. Look at me now.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever gotten that low. The thing with Miami this year, like I know we say it every year because, you know, they're Miami, they sort of sleepwalk their way through the season, but they don't really look as if they're as put together as in past years. I could be wrong. You know, it could be the whole thing where they're just messing around. They did the exact same thing last year going to the playoffs. But Butler doesn't look as explosive as he did last year. He doesn't look like he takes over as easily. It might also be because they're integrating, you know, Terry Rozier is still newish to the team, so they're still integrating that. They're trying to figure out this whole Tyler Hero situation if he ever comes back. Duncan Robinson is being able to shoot again, and also just running a lot of the offense more through Bam instead of focusing on Butler all the time. So there's a lot of weird intricacies with this Heat team. That being said, I'm going to take the Sixers in this game.
Yeah, I just think you have an Embiid that's probably played, I think, what, six, seven games in the past 3 weeks. Two, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, like, he's relatively rested. I also look at that matchup that they don't want to be fighting for the 8th seed. I think they want to avoid Boston as much as they can.
I think everyone wants to avoid Boston.
And as they should. And I think, ultimately, that's going to be probably the biggest factor. Because I feel the Heat are a team that play best when their back is completely against the wall, and that will probably be if they lose to Philly and they have to play either Atlanta or Chicago. And so I'm going to say Philly's going to win. I think the spread is Philly minus 5.5.
4.5.
4.5. Okay, well, I'm going to take Philly probably with the points. So I think they're going to win by 7 or 8. Probably some garbage points to even make that look a little nicer. Because I don't think Philly can... I don't think Miami can score enough.
Neither can Philly outside of Embiid, to be honest. And when Embiid is there, Maxey doesn't score that much either with Embiid there. Not as... like, obviously not as much as without Embiid, but he doesn't have the same pop, right? The same kind of freedom in the offense. The over-under for that game is 207.5. That's how much confidence the odds makers have in their inability to score.
That's a good number. I was going to say the score is probably going to be like 107 to like 98.
Yeah, I could believe that. Second game in the East, Hawks up Bulls. We have two teams that nobody has really cared about all season, but the Bulls make a lot of fun games to watch. Like they're always in it. They're just a really pesky team. As ever since Zach LaVine got hurt, you know, everything sort of just has worked together better. That being said, they're still not a very good team. I don't think either of these teams will advance to the actual playoffs, whoever wins. The Hawks are just an absolute mess, and they have this whole Trae Young situation looming over the organization. And that could be blown up this summer as well, as a lot of people are predicting. The spread is Chicago favored by 3.5. I'm just going to take Chicago, and then they lose to Miami in the second play-in game. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think we had that last year, didn't we?
Yes.
Miami.
Yeah, like we had...
Miami-Chicago.
No, we had Miami-Atlanta last year. Oh, and then maybe in the second play-in game. That sounds right, actually. Have to look that up.
I remember there's a lot of red teams. I just remember
for
that.
Sure.
Yeah, but... yeah, honestly, don't care about this game. Obviously, especially with Trae Young being out. I think they're both very similar and pesky teams. They're both missing a big offensive piece. And former All-Stars, both of them, respectively. I personally think DeJounte in the playoffs is probably going to be less of a problem than he was in the regular season. Because they played a lot of teams really tough. And they made games that they were clearly outmatched on the court, closer than they probably should have been. But I think in the playoffs, teams are going to clamp down on him, get the ball out of his hands, get the ball in other players' hands, which, again, for Atlanta, they don't have as many just bona fide scorers. And I do think Chicago has a bit more experience, especially with Vucevic, DeRozan. They have Caruso. Like, they have a few players that have played in some big games. So, I don't care enough to take them. But I will have to. But I do think it'll be a closer game. I think 5 points or so. Probably comes down to the last couple of possessions.
Yeah. Last year we had Miami-Atlanta in the first play-in game. And then Toronto and Chicago. Toronto in the play-in game last year. How about that?
And then they lost, and then they had to play...
and then it was Miami-Chicago for the 8th seed game, and Miami
obviously
won that.
Yeah, might have a repeat this year.
Yeah, Miami could still go back to the finals. How about that? Beat Boston in the first round.
Well, you know what? Boston, that is their worst nightmare, playing Miami.
Boston needs to confront their demons, excise their demons, you know what I mean? Miami. I mean, all the teams need to just get past that Miami hump if they make it to the playoffs.
Yeah. Even the Bucks. Like, even though they won their championship, that... you know what? This Miami team reminds me of the Miami team that the Bucks obliterated on the route to the championship.
In 2021?
Yeah. After the bubble.
Yeah.
This Miami team, it's like Miami had a deep run into the playoffs. They were the underdogs in the bubble. And then they came back with swagger, and Milwaukee was like, no, F this. We're going to destroy you. And they had like a huge point differential. And everyone said, like, Miami's injured, they're not as healthy, they weren't clicking, they didn't have enough time to gel, and this just reminds me of that.
It's funny. What a callback. So anyways, we got Philly and Miami, right? Philly and Miami coming out of the East, and then you had Pelicans and Lakers?
Yes.
Oh, so you're going chalk. Just straight up chalk.
Yep. They're the 7 and 8 seeds for a reason.
Wow. I'm going same thing in the East, and then my West is reversed. I got Lakers in going into the 7th seed against Denver. Also, like, partially because I want Denver to play the Lakers because they play really well against them. I don't want to deal with this, like, potential Zion problem, you know? Let someone else deal with it.
You know, Aaron Gordon got Zion on lock.
Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't, but, you know, let Chet get bullied by Zion. Let him get pushed around in the paint. Let Zion just blow we'll by see. People, you know?
Yeah, again, I like, I know we have a couple of minutes on this pod, and we'll save all the juicy stuff for Josh. But there's every year, especially the first round in the NBA, you have so many games. You have 3-4 games a night. You have great matchups. You have upsets. You have teams that shouldn't be seeded so high. You have teams coming off of injury, teams getting players back. And one matchup that just screams to me, like, must-watch TV is this Minnesota-Phoenix series. Because Minnesota's a team that they've definitely turned the corner this year, really made some big strides. Cat especially being out, they've found a way to win. And Ant's, I think, taking that step. But you're playing a Phoenix team that obviously super top-heavy, talented, had the toughest last 12 games, actually performed and had a pretty good record in the last 12, minus one blowout to the Clippers. And they don't match up that badly against the Minnesota. And if anything, they can give Minnesota some problems.
Yes.
So this could be, and then, hey, Minnesota's the 3 seed right now. It'd be interesting. Phoenix, if they're able to get some rest, if they're able to beat Minnesota in 4 or 5 games, have a bit of a break before they end up playing Denver or whoever is in that 7 seed, like, most likely Denver, it could be interesting.
Well, I welcome Phoenix in the 2nd round. That's all I can say. But yeah, that matchup is going to be very strange, especially with Cat coming back now. Their defense looks totally different with him there, right? And their offense is so... I mean, this is a real conversation that we would have to get into that we just don't have time for today. But that the West is going to be fun as always. The West is always fun every year. And the East is like, you know, I'm down. Do I really want to watch New York, Philly? Do I want to watch Milwaukee, Indiana? I'm going to watch the hell out of Milwaukee. That's going to be an upset series.
Yeah.
That's going to be an Indiana series for sure.
We'll see. And hey, we get the inevitable Luka versus the Clippers, but now he has a sidekick in Kyrie.
Ooh, that's... Oh, man, this Mavs team is... There's something, man. Ever since they made these trade deadline moves for Gafford and Washington, they're something else. Yeah. I like it.
No more Dwight Powell running that pick and roll.
Thank God. Yeah, just let Dwight Powell chill on the bench, man. Just let him get paid and hang out. That's all it is.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's, man. Just living the dream. And on that note, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. We're on all the major podcast platforms. You can find our socials everywhere. I'm talking X. I'm calling it X. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We're there everywhere. Hoops Corner Pod. And until next time, peace.